the Divided Kingdom. This is Lou Caraballi. My co-host, Elizabeth Cuppett Caraballi, and I have very vital information to share with you tonight. You can hear us on these broadcast venues, WWCR.com, K-Star Talk Radio, Kingdom Star Radio, Liberty Works Radio Network, that is LWRN.net, and Global Star Radio. Visit our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com, and hear our archives. And don't miss the last program where we talked about David Duchaine's Fort Fairfield Journal and some of Trump's very questionable appointments, one was Treasury Secretary. That's DividedKingdomRadio.com. It's January 29th, 30th, 2025. Mike Adams commented on a somewhat recent hurricane named Ian that the storm appeared to be, quote-unquote, guided. On Friday, September 30th, Mike Adams interviewed Dane Wigington, founder of geoengineeringwatch.org, on Mike's situation update. Mike remarked that Hurricane Ian moved into the area of southern, that is southwestern Florida, then it stopped, turned east, stopped again, and turned north. Dane explained that this was a clear example of weather modification. He told that frequency transmissions from transmitters can repel electrically charged particles in the hurricane. Using two or more transmitters, the storm can be steered or even stopped. And this was what happened with Hurricane Ian. Similar weather modification was almost certainly used in Hurricane Katrina in 1905. Make that 2005. I've got the wrong date there. It was the third worst hurricane in recorded U.S. history, causing the loss of over 1,800 lives. And it did over $125 billion in damage. It, too, seems to have been steered in order to cause maximum death and destruction.
Lou, we remember, we saw some video clips afterward how it just sort of turned around. It was going one way, and it was steered, just as you're saying they can do.
That's exactly right. And I can remember it was a devastating hurricane that was in the news for weeks on end. And you can
yes, and that's the time at which there was some police state activity. People were sort of approached about their guns or something, and so then that made people begin to question President Bush whether gun confiscation was on the scene to come soon, and he said, this is not the time for that, which was a very enigmatic, interesting reply, and we're always edging closer and closer now in the more chaotic times we're in to a real confrontation with the Second Amendment rights. Go ahead, Lou. What else about Hurricane Ian?
Well, that's pretty much it. And remember, with Katrina, they locked up people, basically locked them up in one of the stadiums, and they had poor conditions, unsanitary conditions, and deprived of liberties, as you were saying with the guns. And you can read our radio monologues, Earth Siege 1 and 2, which go into some of the matters that Dane Wigington has exposed. And you can read those by going to our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com, and selecting Breaking News.
Yes, and I think that it might say something like latest headlines under that. Again, that's DividedKingdomRadio.com. Lou, you brought up something very, very important there about the people more or less locked in those stadiums. And they were the people who were made homeless and the poorer people of society. Any of you listening, you don't want to be in some kind of a regimented New World Order building. We hear from a listener who is at least temporarily in such a place, and we don't want to identify the state at this time, but these are poor people who've probably lost their homes or whatever happened, and we've been hearing a rumor, and we can't really clarify this, whether it's actually true. But some of you out there, if you're listening to us from Massachusetts, you may want to let us know whether this is right, that the whole state will not permit people now to dispose of textiles and certain other things. We've heard from a person in one of these so-called, I guess, aid to the poor buildings, that they, the residents there are no longer allowed to just go dispose of things like textiles and things. They have to all be bagged up, and the authorities who are running this establishment they will take everything, all the trash. Now, you know, we have a flight of imagination sometimes, because actually, I guess when I wrote my books, Chaos and Chemtrails and America Attacked, I put some things in it that were stories that had happened in my family and other places. So I have an imagination, and all of a sudden, this is what occurred to me. You know, you make correspondences, and that means you make parallels in your thinking. All of a sudden, I thought, if this is true, that some of these places are not allowed to dispose of the textiles, their clothing and things that are discarded, all of a sudden what came to my mind was the way our government treated the American Indians by putting smallpox on their blankets and killing off a lot of the Native Americans. Now, if we are planning to have some kind of a monkeypox, smallpox amalgam vaccine or epidemic, maybe we are getting ready to have a control factor over blankets and things that would be contagious. That's just a thought that came to me. It may not have any bearing to do with anything that's coming. But my advice to you, if you are living in one of these places, for goodness sake, if you get a little money from somewhere, rent a room. Put an ad in a paper. There are little old ladies who will rent a room for very little. They just want to have someone there who helps them feel secure and maybe will grocery shop for them. Think about what I'm saying. It's incredibly important that whatever your decisions are, you try to remain independent so you're not rounded up and taken to what we always called FEMA camps. They're real. Pastor Carl Sanders, who was an active part of our program for years, he told the listeners you could take a little driving vacation, and he had a little map where you could go to see these. I think most of them were closed Army installations, but you see what's there waiting undercover. We don't know, but we also do know, Lou, that Australia is a template for the very worst in the pandemic planning, you know, to take people for quarantine camps. Maria Z on September 28th reported in to Stu Peters that Australia now has another bill that will last 2 years, replacing the temporary order, the bill of 2022. So here again, are we preparing for a new epidemic? We don't know. But under this new bill, I think it's like a continuation of the emergency. We could have Gestapo-like police breaking into homes without paperwork. They can get that later, Lou. And they can seize any of your private things. They can take you to a facility of their choosing, and they can do any procedure they want. Now, I'm not sure how far this is going through, but it is a bill in Australia, and there is a bill that allows the UN to come into the detention centers to interview people. If you don't think these are serious times, then you are one of the sheeple. Just keep watching the Fox News. However, we must give plaudits who's our favorite one there, Lou, that we would watch sometimes?
Tucker Carlson.
Yes, Tucker. He at least gave some news that possibly the Biden regime was responsible for the blow-up of the Nord Stream pipeline. And if so, this is just terrible. We are doing everything to try to set off World War III and make Putin release his Poseidon sub. This is a huge, Lou, you think we've heard it was 900 feet long, didn't we?
I think so, yes, because I think I was thinking in my mind it was like three football fields.
The nuclear sub. And according here again to Mike Adams, I think it can release all these missiles. It can carry maybe 15 of them more. I don't really know how many, but there have been rumors these have already been put in some of the waterways in America and around the coast. So it is beyond insanity for a so-called government to bait the bear, because because Russia didn't want this war, they had some reasonable expectations to annex some of their own land. They wanted to shore up Crimea. But look what we're doing, all against the will of the American people, billions of dollars going to the Ukraine war. So we ask you, listeners, to pray very fervently that God will foil this attempt to take us into probably a nuclear strike first from Russia. How crazy is that, Lou?
It's extremely crazy because in the end it'll be World War III, and probably neither nation will emerge.
And what will be left
after
a nuclear strike?
Not much.
I think we heard this is many, many times worse than Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the amount of the radiation.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
It was many,
thousands of times more.
Yes. So we do ask you to pray, and we do ask you to keep us on the air. We thank those few of you who did help us that we can be here in October. We're so pleased to be able to warn you about things. Isn't your life important? So some of you who haven't given to us to help us in maybe 6 or 7 months, consider a little cash in an envelope sent to Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And again, that's Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. It's just so important that you appreciate that we're giving our all, and you do not have to endure those unendurable commercials. So we do hope that you will help us out. Again, that's Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And so now, instead of an opening monologue written by Lou or me, we're sharing some, again, extremely important warning information. You don't want to be walking around your room multitasking. We have some listeners who do that. And then they write and ask us questions about things that we've already covered. No, you need to sit down and get your attention span under order and listen to what we have coming up, because this came from Kelly Nelson's July 19th article in News with Views. It's an excerpt from it. And the title of this article was The Global Food System and Totalitarian Control. Now, before we move into that, again, think about what you need in your home. Think about canned meats. Think about canned vegetables. Fruits won't last so long. So if you can get some freeze-dried fruits, you'll want to do some of this. Think about your water supply. If everything goes down in the grid, you don't want to be that poor old lady who was sitting there in Hurricane Katrina outside that convention center in a wheelchair. Remember her, Lou?
I do remember
that.
Day
after day she was sitting there.
Yeah.
I think she finally passed on. I'm not sure, during all that stress and strain. But we again ask you to pray for the people in Florida and pray for Governor DeSantis, who by all reports we hear is trying to do his very best to help his people in that state. So now we're moving into what we call Ominous October 1, Human Compost Horrors, Instant COVID Clot Shot Death, Planned Drought, Starvation and Freezing, Europe in Crosshairs. And Lou now is going to begin with this vital excerpt about our food situation. We didn't know this. In fact, this was a little older article. And I was going through it, and all of a sudden, in shock, I saw what is the truth about the Global Food System and Totalitarian Control. Again, it's excerpted July 19th article, News with Views, by Kelly, capital K-E-L-L-E-I-G-H, Nelson. Lou?
Klaus Schwab, founder and executive chairman, World Economic Forum, made it clear when he said, quote, "The pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world," unquote. There is only one conclusion. They want us dead. Those who survive will be enslaved. Control of food production will guarantee massive genocide. BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street. in August of 2021.
Now, let me interrupt again.
Yes.
We had heard one little blurb about BlackRock, that it was the largest asset manager in the world. So we thought, oh, yes, that's in the financial area of things. But there's much more. Go ahead.
In August of 2021, Jim O'Neill wrote a stunning expose of BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street, entitled Monolithic Monopoly. Take a gander at it. Jim has listed the large companies of which Vanguard, BlackRock, and State Street are top shareholders. His article first alerted me to BlackRock's chairman and CEO, Larry Fink. In March of 2022, Investopedia reported, quote, BlackRock Incorporated is by some measures the biggest investment management company across the globe, with more than $10 trillion, yes, you heard that right, $10 trillion in assets under management as of December 31st, 2021. As a major publicly traded company with a market capitalization of about $112.3 billion, BlackRock provides investment and technology services to both institutional and retail clients around the world, unquote. According to a May 1st, 2022 News Target article, BlackRock and Vanguard have taken over centralized food production technologies and will have near total control over the future food supply in America. It's been under the radar for the majority of America, and
let's
certainly
repeat that statement again. If
yes.
anybody was waltzing around the room trying to dust off the cabinet or something, or playing a little music on the piano, whatever, punching the keys on a computer, let's hear that again.
According to a May 1st, 2022 News Target article, BlackRock and Vanguard have taken over centralized food production technologies and will have near total control over the future food supply in America. It's been under the radar for the majority of America, and it certainly doesn't bode well for the future. Remember Kissinger's famous quote, "Who controls the food supply controls the people. Who controls the energy can control whole continents. Who controls money can control the world," unquote. The USDA and FDA have already approved lab-grown meat, genetically modified cattle, and are funding the globalists to research and develop cellular agriculture, as well as indoor growers and genetics companies, while they slack on regulations for gene-edited produce. Union Pacific is mandating railroad shipping reductions by 20%, impacting CF Industries Holdings, the world's largest fertilizer company. Vanguard, BlackRock, and State Street happen to be the top shareholders of Union Pacific, and BlackRock and Vanguard are in the top three shareholders of CF Industries Holdings. Only 10 companies hold almost every food and beverage brand in the world. Vanguard and BlackRock are the top shareholders in most of these companies. Their plans include owning all the seeds, produce, and meat. Everything will be grown inside secured facilities after a gene splice or inside a petri dish. And farmland will become dormant due to overreaching regulations, lack of supplies, and manufactured inflation. And Elizabeth, I'll turn it over to you.
And the article continues, no more farmers markets. If you missed Kathleen Marquardt's latest article, being BlackRocked, being canceled by a global public-private partnership, dig into it, because it's all about our taxpayer dollars going into these global public-slash-private partnerships, which is a network of the world's stakeholders. Think we're kidding? Over 100 food processing plants have caught fire and been destroyed. Conspiracy theory? Hardly. Vertical farming. Bill Gates owns tons of our farmland, 242,000 acres, but insists that all foods will eventually be grown in huge indoor vertical farming and will be in urban areas where people will migrate to, more like forced into. who gets to sit at the table with healthy produce served up by Gates while the rest of the population eats gene-edited produce from locked-down facilities delivered to their local grocery store and accessed only through a digital ID? Check out the 11-minute video of one of these farms in Wyoming. But guess what else Gates owns? In an April 27, 2022 article on controlled food systems, we read, quote, "The Consultative Group of International Agricultural Research, CGIAR, holds the world's largest private seed banks, consisting of 10% of the worldwide germplasm across the globe, which is controlled by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Rockefeller and Ford Foundations, and World Bank, managing 768,576 accessions of hijacked farmer seeds." How lovely. Total control by total evil. In one of Dr. Joseph Mercola's articles, he stated the following. In August 2020, Monsanto Bayer helped found a startup called Unfold, which develops new vegetable seed varieties specifically geared for vertical farms. According to investigative journalist Corey Lynn, GMOs already account for 75 to 80% of food Americans consume, and once fresh produce is under patent, that percentage will inch closer to 100%. The University of California is also working on plant-based mRNA vaccines. The idea there is to disseminate vaccines through the conventional food supply, which puts a whole new spin on the old adage to let thy food be thy medicine. Oh, yummy.
Good old Monsanto Bayer, who has allegedly poisoned the planet with Roundup's cancer-causing glyphosate, has a long and evil history. Eva Moses Kaur and her twin were in Auschwitz. Mrs. Kaur sued Bayer and stated, quote, "They were right there with Dr. Joseph Mengele at Auschwitz," unquote. The parties negotiated a settlement establishing the creation of a $5 billion fund for the Foundation Remembrance, Responsibility, and Future. "I was fortunate to have had a lengthy conversation with Eva in 1997. What an unbelievable, amazing woman." German companies Bayer and BASF, two of the world's largest suppliers of seed, are both heavily involved with the vertical farm industry. It was during the Obama administration in 2014 when Congress established the Foundation for Food and Agriculture Research Act, FFAR, through the Farm Bill, which ultimately created a nonprofit organization outside of the government with a $200 million kickoff from taxpayer dollars and additional millions in support from Bill Gates, as seen here and here. And those are links that you could go to if you go on the Internet to this article. Then a 15-member board of directors was appointed, which unsurprisingly included Deputy Director Dr. Robert Horsch of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and high-ranking employees from Cargill and the Aspen Institute, among others. In March of 2020, America was locked down due to COVID. We lost many of our inalienable rights, especially those of the First Amendment. That summer, Antifa and Black Lives Matter looted and torched the entire country. America was set ablaze, but the Insurrection Act was never used. There were no mayors like Richard J. Daley. Communism isn't on its way. It's already here. Klaus Schwab wants to, quote, "reflect, reimagine, and reset our world." Yes, a reset to totalitarian control. The world population and all its resources will be run by governments empowered to, quote-unquote, fairly distribute goods and services to the people. Food production is the number one target of control by the World Economic Forum's Great Reset. The key to genocide is food control and a totalitarian slave system. As Americans, we must make Schwab's, quote, "rare but narrow window," unquote, an impossibility.
That's for certain, Lou. And remember, listeners, please tell those you care about to visit DivinedKingdomRadio.com, and they can go into the listening archives. They can hear that very important program, the last program in September. I think that was September 28th, was it not, Lou?
I believe it was.
I think so. And there, again, you can hear Lou's very vital monologue with the information about the possible hybridization of some kind of a bioweapon and vaccine, possibly, with monkeypox and smallpox. It's just so important. Listeners, we are realizing that these criminals, like Anthony Fauci, Francis Collins, Peter Daszak. Peter Daszak is still getting funding. None of this has stopped. Your congressman and mine, they're doing nothing. Everything is sold out. You can't count on the Constitution being in place. You can't count on anybody but Lord Jesus Christ. And believe me, Satan has had yours truly in his crosshairs for about the time from August 11th till now. Any kind of a little ailment that could be sprung on me every day was, even before we went to the air today, to the mic, the toilet began running and the pump wouldn't shut off. And, of course, Lou's had a great deal of strain fixing various things because Satan makes this happen. We know that Gary Caw's ministry, and by the way, we had heard that he had recurring cancer, Hope for the World ministry. Pray for him. Pray for his family. One time he listed all the things that had happened to his family financially in 1 year. It was unbelievable. And he knew it was a satanic attack. So we've been having these attacks. And this latest one, when the pump wouldn't stop, I just prayed. And I asked Jesus to foil this problem and stop it. And he stopped it. He doesn't always give us what we ask for. It has to be his will. And sometimes we have to endure and suffer. And Lou and I are still suffering because there is some kind of a holdup on a loan being approved for a purchase of an old property that we need to sell to come out of our horrendous radio credit card debt. And not all of the debt was from the radio, but many thousands were, maybe as much as our debt is, $59,000. We've absolutely put more than that in, and almost no one helped us till Captain Darrell Eberhardt pleaded in about the year 2017, I think, and then a few listeners began to help, besides that one faithful woman who has helped us since 2006. So again, we thank those of you who have sacrificially helped to keep this on the air. One of those people, that woman that early on began to give us money every month, she said, "Divided Kingdom must go on," because she's realizing things. She heard in another venue about Simone Gold, the doctor who was imprisoned because of January 6th, that she gave thanks for this imprisonment because she saw that she was able to witness about Jesus Christ to so many people who were there. And we do witness that. We believe that Jesus Christ is our personal Savior and friend, and we want to do his will. We want to warn all of you, and we want you to take heart. And together, the prayers of all of these listeners, it's so important. It's so important. God will not ignore the prayers, and he does care about each of you. So we're again saying that you must tell others about Divided Kingdom Radio, and that they can read Lou's important warning last week, and you could hear that important program about the possible smallpox coming. Now, we're getting back to this, that we can't count, on government. We can count on some local government, and we can try to make a difference there, but mostly we have to take actions to help ourselves and our families, and pray. There's so much opposition. We know that even Stu Peters, this valiant advocate against the deaths being caused by the bioweapon, the shot, the clot shot, even he, a member of his close family, refused to listen and took the shot. And he said now he has to have this recurring kind of health issue. So we know not everybody will listen. But God knows his own, and he knows many of you. He wants you to have the information. He wants you to be very careful not to go for health procedures that can have problems. We've heard there are multiple mRNAs planned for the flu shots, and Dr. Jane Ruby advises not to get injections that were formerly safe. So you have to pray, and God will lead you about the danger. So now, Lou, besides this terrible consolidation and control of the food supply, we now have a cute new death's head device. But let's look a little deeper. How cute is it? Is eugenics sort of there in this October that we're talking about, this ominous October? Here's the headline from Natural News, September 19th, by Ethan Huff. Samsung and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation announced new incineration toilet. Does that grab you, Lou, that word, incineration?
I wouldn't want to sit on it.
No, it makes you think of the Holocaust.
Does.
People in the ovens, doesn't it? Incineration toilet that uses grid power to turn your toilet contents into ash and recycled water. In response to the Reinvent the Toilet Challenge, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, in partnership with Samsung, has introduced a new prototype incineration toilet with the capacity to turn feces and urine into ash and recycled water. The Samsung Advanced Institute of Technology, SAIT, started working on a new toilet with Gates' crew back in 2019. The core technologies for it were recently completed, and the toilet itself has been successfully developed and tested using a prototype. On August 16th, Samsung Electronics Vice Chairman J.Y. Lee met with Gates to talk about how the toilet can be distributed around the world. During that meeting, Gates shared his vision for getting the toilet to the four corners of the world, while Samsung presented a plan to offer royalty-free licenses of patents for the device. There is still more work to be done to commercialize the toilet, and Samsung and Gates are working on just how to do that. Once the design and production process are honed and made more efficient for mass production, the new Samsung incineration toilet will be ready for global distribution. Quote, during 3 years of research and development, SAIT worked on the basic design and developed the component and modular technology, leading to the successful development of a prototype for household use, a press release explained. The product is energy efficient with effluent treatment capability and meets the performance required by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation for commercialization for a household use reinvented toilet. And Ethan Huff has an interior headline, "Don't be fooled. Bill Gates is still engaged in all sorts of eugenics operations." According to Samsung, the toilet incorporates unique heat treatment and bioprocessing technologies that effectively sterilize human waste and render it safe or safer for release into the environment as effluent and solids. The system enables the treated water to be fully recycled, Samsung said. Solid waste is dehydrated, dried, and combusted into ashes, while liquid waste is treated through a biological purification process. The Reinvent the Toilet Challenge that led to the development of this new toilet was actually pioneered by the Gates Foundation as part of a program they created back in 2011. The goal is to, quote, develop transformative. Lou, every time we hear that word transformation, we know that's the New World Order.
Yes, exactly. That's a key word.
That's right. The goal is to develop transformative toilet technologies that can safely and effectively manage human waste. Gates is still not to be trusted, though. He recently obtained 2,000 acres of pristine farmland in North Dakota under questionable circumstances to add to his growing portfolio of American farmland. North Dakota Attorney General Drew Wrigley wants to know why Gates bought the land, and there is a probe underway to determine if the purchase was even legal. Now, this is Elizabeth. Does anyone really believe that this incineration toilet will produce safe effluent and solids? you know, more toxins or biologicals into the municipal water systems that's coming, and biosludge on fields.
The human skulls and skeletons are already dancing Satan's death dance. Yes, Elizabeth, eugenics and depopulation goals are probably back of the so-called incineration toilet. In the following article, more of this gruesome anti-human, anti-God agenda emerges. This is from Zero Hedge. California legalizes human composting. And this is by Tyler Durden, Saturday, September 24th, 2022. California is about to give people a third option for what to do with a body after death. And although I can't show you the picture, I can at least give you the caption that was with this picture. And, of course, you can go to Zero Hedge and see the actual picture. It says, a demonstration, quote-unquote, vessel for the deceased is pictured among the other vessels during a tour of the Return Home Funeral Home. That's quite a name. Return Home Funeral Home, which specializes in human composting in Auburn, Washington, on March 14th, 2022. Instead of just burial or cremation, the state will now allow people to choose human composting or natural organic reduction, NOR, starting in 2027 after Governor Gavin Newsom signed Assembly Bill 351 last week, according to SFGate. The process of composting a cadaver, already legalized in Washington, Colorado, and Oregon, involves placing the body in a reusable container, surrounding it with wood chips, and aerating it to let microbes and bacteria grow. After about a month, the remains will decompose and be fully transformed into soil. Companies such as Recompose in Washington offer the service at a natural organic reduction facility. The process is considered green, as it doesn't require the burning of fossil fuels and emission of carbon monoxide. According to National Geographic, cremations in the U.S. alone emit around 360,000 metric tons of carbon dioxide per year. And according to the author of the bill, Assemblymember Christina Garcia, Democrat, the threat of climate change motivated the new law, especially after L.A. County suspended regulations on cremation emissions during the pandemic. And she said, quote, Assembly Bill 351 will provide an additional option for California residents that is more environmentally friendly and gives them another choice for burial, unquote. And Ms. Garcia went on to say, with climate change and sea level rise as very real threats to our environment, this is an alternative method of final disposition that won't contribute emissions into our atmosphere, unquote. Garcia says she herself may, and this is Lou interjecting, I'm surprised she just wouldn't say she'll do it. But getting back, Garcia says she herself may elect NOI when she dies. She said, I look forward to continuing my legacy to fight for clean air by using my reduced remains to plant a tree, unquote. The idea of composting human remains has raised some ethical questions. Colorado's version of the law dictates that the soil of multiple people cannot be combined without consent. The soil cannot be sold, and it cannot be used to grow food for human consumption. The California bill bans the combining of multiple people's remains unless they are family. But unlike Colorado, California is not explicitly banning the sale of the soil or its use growing food for human consumption. The process has met opposition in California from the Catholic Church, which says the process, quote, reduces the human body to simply a disposable commodity, unquote. And here's another quote. NOR uses essentially the same process as a home gardening composting system, said the executive director of the California Catholic Conference, Kathleen Domingo, who noted that the process involved in NOR was developed for livestock, not humans. And she continued, quote, these methods of disposal were used to lessen the possibility of disease being transmitted by the dead carcass. Using these same methods for the transformation, that's that word again, for the transformation of human remains can create an unfortunate spiritual, emotional, and psychological distancing from the deceased, unquote. She added that the process, which may lead to human remains being scattered in public locations, quote, risks people treading over human remains without their knowledge, while repeated dispersions in the same area are tantamount to a mass grave, unquote.
Really ghoulish. And,
yes.
You know, whether things like this human composting and these, quote, incineration toilets take off, we do have a possible plan for the European people to starve and freeze this coming winter. And the Biden regime's, if it's true that they did it, the attack on the Nord Stream pipeline, they will have a lot to answer for when they meet Almighty God. But, you know, none of these worries are meaningful to one woman named Carol Pierce. Perhaps this was a final salute to the disappearing Georgia Guidestones, the evil, satanic, murderous, aborted fetal cell shot killing machine struck with sudden death. LifeSite News, Canadian woman dies minutes after getting COVID booster shot in pharmacy. This was Anthony Murdoch, Saturday, September 24th, 2022. Carol Pierce's family argue that the COVID booster shot was the cause of her death. Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. A Canadian woman dropped dead at her local pharmacy only minutes after getting a COVID booster jab. As reported by the Western Standard, on September 14th, the now deceased Carol Pierce went to her local Shoppers Drug Mart in Saskatoon, where she got a COVID booster shot. While waiting for the mandated 15-minute post-jab rest period, Pierce, quote, dropped dead before she hit the floor, end of quote, according to Shoppers Drug Mart workers. Pierce had been texting her daughter, Stephanie Foster, right after she had received the jabs. According to Foster, only a short while after her mom had told her she had received the shot, Shoppers Drug Mart said she fell to the floor. Quote, it was right after then that they say, quote, she dropped dead before she hit the floor, noted Foster. Quote, that is what the docs have told us. According to the family, Pierce was in good health overall. Her family is now alleging she died from the COVID jabs. My beautiful mother's life was taken yesterday by the COVID booster shot, wrote Foster. She had no medical issues at all. Foster, in the text that told her mom she did not want another jab, said that Pierce's death should have never happened. Had they known what they were shooting into us, my mom would still be here. The Saskatchewan Ministry of Health is denying that Pierce died from getting the COVID jab. Instead, the health authority insists she died of, quote, natural causes. The still experimental COVID injections were approved for use for those aged 6 months and up. The approval of the jabs for babies in Canada comes even though over 400 doctors, scientists, and professionals just declared a medical crisis due to diseases and death associated with the COVID-19 vaccines. And, Lou, I believe you are next with something important.
Our next is about New York City to open humanitarian emergency centers to serve illegal immigrants bused from the border states. This is from Zero Hedge by Tyler Durden, Sunday, September 25th, 2022. And it came originally from the Epoch Times. In its latest move to handle illegal immigrants transported from the nation's southern border, New York City Mayor Eric Adams said he will open new humanitarian emergency centers to make sure the new arrivals meet their needs.
Now, Lou, we're going to shorten some of our articles here. That's
yes.
An important headline, because that headline might mean one of two things. Number one, he will, just like all leftists do, he will rent out exclusive hotel suites for all of these illegals. Number two, he might put them into more of a eugenic situation that we've been describing. Not good, not good. And then after that, I have just a headline here. Dilbert cartoon canceled from 77 newspapers after incorporated incorporating, excuse me, anti-woke plot lines, and that was by Joe Hoff at the Gateway Pundit. So we can see that laughter and truth are not allowed in a growing police state. And actually, the Daily Mail reported on this, that a popular comic strip like this, it was kind of shocking because it had been in circulation since 1989, and it often pokes fun at office culture. But you see, they couldn't be joking about things that cannot be. Wokeness is insane, the writer says. Americans cherish the truth. Dilbert is hilarious because it points out the insanity around us. And we've got to move on because we want to get to Peter Daszak and how things are still going on. What do you have next, Lou?
We have about King Charles helping organize the Great Reset meeting.
All right, I think that's important. We should get that.
All right. This is from LifeSide News. The actual title is King Charles helped organize original Great Reset meeting with the World Economic Forum during COVID-19. This is by Emily Mangiaracina, Friday, September 9th, 2022. Queen Elizabeth II's son Charles, who ascended the British throne in the wake of her death on Thursday, co-hosted the original meeting for the Great Reset, a totalitarian initiative of the World Economic Forum, with WEF Chairman Klaus Schwab. In a video released to mark the launch of the Great Reset, then Prince Charles warned that the Great Reset plan, which includes green policies that would suffocate businesses and individual freedoms worldwide, is a matter of urgency. Charles said, quote, "We have no alternative because otherwise, unless we take the action necessary and we build again in a greener and more sustainable and more inclusive way, then we will end up having more pandemics and more disasters, accelerating global warming and climate change," said Charles, parroting the refrain of the WEF that major global intervention is necessary in business practices and consumption habits in order to avert an, quote, impending disaster, unquote. Charles proposed that the world seize the opportunity presented by the COVID-19 crisis, and that's in quotes, crisis, also a clarion call of the WEF to create a, quote, more circular bioeconomy that gives back to nature as much as we take, unquote. He noted that this would involve net zero carbon emissions and the use of carbon pricing to achieve this end, a system whereby the external costs of greenhouse gas emissions are tied to their sources to a price usually on the carbon dioxide emitted. In 2019, the UK became the first major economy to set a 2050 net zero carbon dioxide emissions target, the same proposed by the WEF in a challenge issued to their global business participants prior to their 2020 annual meeting. In order to achieve this goal, the UK government's chief scientific advisor has encouraged the British public to reduce their meat intake and fly less often to cut natural carbon output. In a further step, UK's Climate Change Committee went so far as to criticize the government for omitting demands for dietary and travel restrictions as part of its 2030 climate change strategy. The committee proposed that individuals should cut their meat intake by around 20% before 2030 and a further 15% within the following 20 years in order to convert the land used for meat and dairy farming into space for trees. Even short of such a government mandate, another major WEF proposal endorsed by King Charles III, carbon pricing, would ultimately hurt the middle and lower classes by driving up the cost of business and thereby passing down expenses to consumers, who would carry the burden of such green policies if businesses themselves aren't forced to shut down first for lack of profit. Meanwhile, over 1,100 scientists and professionals have signed a World Climate Declaration, WCD, declaring that, quote, there is no climate emergency, unquote, arguing that carbon dioxide is not a pollutant, that natural as well as anthropogenic factors cause global warming, that the warming is far slower than predicted, and that such warming has not increased natural disasters.
Yes, Lou. We get the picture there again.
Yes.
Trees are more important as the depopulation plan continues. And Kevin Hughes at Natural News had a headline, "No Longer a Conspiracy Theory." Pardon me. "Global elites have joined forces to form one world government. These globalists have a global agenda, and they are people who are far worse than well-known dictators like Adolf Hitler, Benito Mussolini, and Mao Zedong. The Wuhan coronavirus pandemic is just a forerunner to more pandemics. Millions of people are now aware of the emerging one world government and the plans of the globalists to take power under the pretense of world health. People have now realized that this so-called New World Order is religiously paganistic, luciferic, and satanic in its characteristics." And in addition to that, Kevin Hughes says, "NWO's final strike in America is coming. The New World Order's final strike in America will include a man-made bioattack, food shortages, rolling blackouts, and endless riots." And Lou, look for that article on DAZAC, because we're going to have to see the teeth that are being put in to this proposal to keep this going. There'll be including, he says here, Kevin Hughes, "a man-made bioattack, food shortages, rolling blackouts, and endless riots. Americans may need a massive military-style campaign to summon the strength to overcome the global private sector and achieve the fundamental economic transition it is looking for. The New World Order is able to raise prices of practically everything, and they're going to do whatever they can to try to make people go down on their knees and take the solution that they have." Lou, what about Peter Daszak?
Well, you know, I've been looking for that. I don't seem to see that.
I wonder if I have it.
Possibly.
I will look.
I have some other interesting things, if you want me to read some headlines.
You know, we just will give this very quickly, that I think he has been renewed with a grant, and this would be toward keeping that gain-of-function thing going and keeping the next pandemic coming. What do you have next there on I, probably?
I had about the pro-life gentleman who was homeward surrounded by the FBI.
You know, that's very, very important. But give us the headline. We're going to get into more of the police state next week. Just give us the headline.
Yes, this was from National File. "Dozens of FBI agents surround pro-life author's house. Arrest him in front of his seven crying children."
You know, that's so important. Let's get a few more details.
And this was, again, from National File by Paul Aubert. September 24th, 2022, a high-profile pro-life author and activist was arrested after dozens of FBI agents surrounded his house in the Department of Justice's latest SWAT raid on right-wing Americans. Mark Houck is a father of seven children, a pro-life author, and a sidewalk counselor. Around 7 a.m. on Friday, and again, this was dated September 24th, so around 7 a.m. on Friday, according to Houck's wife, Ryan Marie, who homeschools the children, as many as 30 FBI agents surrounded their home with rifles ready to shoot and, quote, "started pounding on the door and yelling for us to open it," unquote. Ryan Marie said her husband attempted unsuccessfully to de-escalate the threatening agents, saying, "Please, I'm going to open the door, but please, my children are in the room, are in the home. I have seven babies in the house." But they kept pounding and screaming. When Mark opened the door, the kids were all just screaming. It was all just very scary and traumatic. After the agent snatched up Mark, the kids were all screaming that he was their best friend. The FBI agents in the porch kind of softened a bit. "I think they realized what was happening," Ryan Marie told LifeSite News. Mark was arrested on a warrant which claimed he violated the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, FACE Act. The warrant claimed Mark attacked a patient escort. LifeSite News reported, Ryan Marie stated this charge comes from an incident that had already been thrown out of the district court in Philadelphia, but was somehow picked up by Merrick Garland's Department of Justice. On several occasions when Mark went to sidewalk counseling last year, he took his eldest son, who was only 12 at the time, she explained. For weeks and weeks, a pro-abortion protester would speak to the boy, saying crude inappropriate and disgusting things, such as, "Your dad's a fag," and other statements that were too vulgar for her to convey. Repeatedly, Mark would tell this pro-abortion man that he did not have permission to speak to his son, and please refrain from doing so. And he, quote, kept doing it, and kind of came into the son's personal space, obscenely ridiculing his father. At this point, quote, Mark shoved him away from his child, and the guy fell back, unquote. He didn't have any injuries or anything, but he tried to sue Mark, and the case was thrown out of court in the early summer. Chris Stefanik, a prominent Catholic speaker, took to Twitter to offer support for Hauk. This was his quote. "A friend of mine's brother-in-law, Mark Hauk, runs a men's ministry and prays and counsels women outside an abortion clinic in Philly. He's not a yelling, chain yourself to the entrance door type. He's saved lives and supported children he's saved. He's the real deal. Today, a SWAT team broke down the door and put a gun in his face in front of his wife and kids for restricting access to an abortion clinic, which he never did. Total, blatant, false charge against a man who poses no threat to justify a SWAT team," Stefanik continued. "Today, a SWAT team broke down his door and put a gun in his face in front of his wife and kids." I guess that's repeating itself. It sometimes happens. They're just
We've talked about
repeating
that.
Repeating,
yes.
In the closing paragraph, he added, "A few hours later, they let him out of jail because they had nothing on him. Though his small children will, no doubt, carry the traumatic event for years. Why send SWAT to someone you have no reason to even hold? This is government-sponsored bullying and intimidation," he added.
This was very important that we do present this. We will get into other things next week, and we will talk again about the strange odds that the U.S., Europe, Africa, and China were all simultaneously experiencing droughts of epic proportions here at the end of summer. But you can see now that the vice is tightening. The government has gone bad. The FBI are like Gestapo. The Department of Justice going after this man. What father would not do what this man did? He caused no physical harm whatsoever. But you wouldn't allow somebody to be pushing into your child's face and into his space and saying these vile things. You wouldn't do it. The decent men of America, you'd better wake up. And you sleeping, lazy dog pastors, you better do something. You're going to face the eternal flames of hell if you don't get these COVID shot installation parlors out of your churches, out of the sanctuary. If you don't repent and say you were wrong, Trump also needs to come out and put himself on the side that the vaccines were killers, not the way he talked quite a while back, about a year or two ago, that these resistors were not good. No, we want some true men who are manly enough to repent and then follow Christ's lead, because we are at a time when we need only Jesus Christ's help to give us the victory, like he did with Roe v. Wade. Good night.